Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and intimacy, a Valentine special. Real quickly, tonight, everybody, it is Cupid Day. It's Heart Day. It's February the 14th. It's Valentine's Day in the year 2018 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are very excited about our show tonight. We've got a lot of interesting things and some new stuff that we're doing, And to kick things off real quickly, our show is being brought to you by CHAD, Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, and we're offering two free digital copies of Attention Magazine. All you have to do is listen for the secret word given in each of three shows and then email the three words along with either the title of the show or the dates of the show to attention@attentiontalkradio.com, and we'll email you the two magazine issues in a PDF form. Attention Magazine is normally only available by subscription, but we are offering this valuable publication to you as our free gift. So with that, as I said, tonight's show is being brought to you by CHAD, and they have a little tip to run, so let's do that, and we'll get into the meat of the show. Here we go.
Are you aware that the Department of Education issued new guidelines regarding 504 plans? What does this mean for your child? Learn more about your child's educational rights on the CHAD website, which is now www.helpforadhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Thank you, CHAD, for your continued support. They've been a long-term supporter of Attention Talk Radio. We're very grateful. For those of you not familiar with CHAD, they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage you to become a member, not just for the member benefits, but also to contribute to them so we can speak really kind of with one voice up on Capitol Hill and some of the different regulatory agencies. Okay, again, it is Valentine's Day, and tonight we're doing something a little different, a little unique. We haven't done this before. Years ago, I did a couple interviews. Actually, I've done a lot of interviews on ADHD and sex and ADHD and intimacy. And the first couple that I did was some time ago with Gina Pera, back in its infancy. And tonight what we've done is we had two shows with her that talked about sex and intimacy, and we did two shows in a sequel. And what I've done is I've gone through and grabbed some clips that I think that were pretty cool. So we're going to kind of walk our way through this on this very special evening. So the first one is back when I originally was reaching out, I was trying to learn some information on the impact of ADHD and sex intimacy. And literally there was little to nothing that was out there at that point in time. And I brought it up really at the beginning of our interview with Gina. And so we're going to share that clip. And again, we're going to go through a few of these today. So with that, let's hear what Gina has.
You're a great choice on tonight. I have searched high and low to find somebody on this particular topic.
Me too. Me too. 10 years ago. Everywhere.
Actually, you know, when I went out looking for people who could speak to ADHD and sex and intimacy, there really wasn't a lot out there. So tell me about your background and how you got, I guess, an education on this. And actually, this is a part of there's a chapter in your book that's devoted to this, right?
Yes. There is a chapter called Peaks and Valleys, ADD in the Bedroom. And just to clarify, the book title is ADD. When I wrote that, there was still a lot of confusion about ADD or ADHD, you know, like there still is. But my book covers, you know, the gamut of ADHD. But 10 years ago, when I discovered that my husband had ADHD, did what my instincts tell me to do as a journalist, research this, talk to other people, interview people. And one of the things I did was I started an online support group for the partners of adults with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it through CHAD of Northern California, but pretty soon we had requests from all over the world. You know, anybody who could write and read English was welcome to join. And, you know, at that time, people were still really talking about adult ADD and paperwork, you know, and that was it. And but I was comparing notes with other partners going, wait a minute, what about this and this? And I'd ask psychologists whose alleged specialty was ADD, and they'd say, oh, that sounds like bipolar. Oh, that sounds like sex addiction. That, you know, in other words, they didn't really understand that the tip of the iceberg with ADHD was maybe, you know, on the job issues. But that there were all these other things going on that I was hearing from the partners. So I just wanted to research it a little bit. I was hearing a lot of issues regarding sex, either too much or none, with not much in between. And a whole lot And I did a survey a few years into it. I did a survey of about 164 partners of adults with ADHD. Most of them were in the online support group. So, you know, this is a subset of the population. These are people who had challenges in their relationship. So there is, you know, that...
A little bit of bias.
Yeah, you know, it's not so much bias. That's what it is. You know, that describes the group. And so I asked them about sex. And what was interesting is, you know, a good percentage says sex is no problem. That's the best part of our relationship. The rest of so even among people who were having trouble, you know, were being challenged by ADHD in their relationship, they still, you know, had a good sex life. So what I always drum home in every lecture, every talk, is that ADHD is not cookie cutter. There is just not one thing that's one size fits all with ADHD. Sex is not an issue, you know, for some people, but it is for others. And even for those that do have difficulty around sex in their relationship, it can be for a lot of very different reasons. So I called sex therapists. I called the National Association of Sex Therapists, and they said, ADD, what does that have to do with sex? And I thought, uh-oh. And then I called a national expert on, I won't go into too much detail about what he's an expert in, but a sex therapist expert, and he had never heard of the connection either.
Really?
But he asked if he could refer his daughter to me. His daughter is a psychologist and a sex therapist, but was having the trouble in her marriage that sounded like what I was talking about. So in other words, there really was nothing. A few years after he had published it, I found Dr. Amen's book, Attention Deficit Disorder in Intimate Relationships. And that was published in like 1997. So I really credit Dan Amen for being one of the first people to talk very frankly about these various issues related to intimacy and including sexual intimacy with ADHD.
So that was how we kind of started off our first conversation with Gina about this particular topic. And as you can see, back in 2011, there really wasn't a lot of information, but it's fascinating. And so often we began to think of ADHD as something that affects school or the workplace. And the question is, really, should it is the bedroom an ADHD-free zone? And let's see what Gina had to say about that.
There's still not a lot of information about it, right?
No, there's not. But you know, we can extrapolate a lot because, you know, why would we think that ADHD symptoms would stop at the bedroom? You know, why would we think that a short attention span or distractibility or physical, you know, sensory integration difficulties or trouble cooperating or taking turns or reading cues, why would we think that wouldn't be a problem, you know, in the bedroom?
And likewise,
why would we think that having trouble at home, you know, not doing things you promised to do, difficulty around conflicts, forgetting, that doesn't exactly, you know, lead to a romantic interlude on a regular basis, you know, conflict.
It was pretty funny in our interview where we were kind of talking about that. We were segueing, and I was actually telling a story, and this is a very much a true story that that we're going to play for you now, about a woman who's describing her experience with ADHD. For those who let me put it this way. When you hear the story, you know that it's really not made up and really can give you some insight on some of the experience. So let's roll it.
Getting ready for this, I was talking to somebody explained that you were going to be kind of on the show and talking about the gist of it, and like I thought that was kind of polarized. Either there's good sex life and kind of hard. It was kind of funny because instantaneously this person had ADHD and says, "Well, when I'm having sex, all I can think about is waffles." And so I'm going to tease you with that. I'm going to come back because I said waffles. How do you get there? And she explained to me. Actually, I have to do it now. She said, "Yeah, when I'm having sex, And this was a female. She says, like, I hear, like, we have this, like, fan and stuff, and it kind of hums. And I think about the hum, and I think, what would happen? I really need that fan to go off, like the electricity go off. But if that went off, then the refrigerator would go off, and the refrigerator would go off, it would all thaw. And what would happen to the waffles?
See, it's totally logical, Jeff.
Talk about distracted. And she was being completely honest in this topic. And I was crying. I was laughing so hard. So, and I guess
probably
I want to
her partner was too.
But you know, the key about this, and what I want to get across to listeners is deal is that you're not alone out there. Whether you have ADHD or you're a partner with somebody ADHD, this is not just you. I think it's relatively common out there, and you should feel okay about it. And the great thing about this show is to get awareness out there so people can, like, find a place like your blog and go and kind of meet with people and kind of discuss and find some connections over this issue to help you manage it.
So, as you can imagine, when I was telling that story, it was quite funny when I heard it, and quite funny on really our last interview. I want to start talking a little bit about how what Gina shares about the traits as they enter in the bedroom, and I think that there's a lot of learning for this. But before we do that, it's a great opportunity for us to take a little bit of a break and thank our sponsors real quickly. Gina Pera, a lot of her clips are shown, or actually that's kind of what we're covering tonight from various shows. And to learn more about her, go to ADHDRollerCoaster.org. And if you listened at the beginning of the show, we're giving out a secret word that if you write it down and the name of the show and the date and send it to us with two other shows, then we'll send you some Attention Magazine. So today's date is February the 14th in the year 2018. The name of the show is ADHD and Intimacy, Valentine Special, and our keyword is Valentine. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here playing some clips of different shows that I've done with Gina Pera back in the past on today, Valentine's Day. Before the break, we were just kind of talking about how little information there was out there a couple of years ago, and really kind of just some fun stories. Now, what's kind of interesting is people begin to think of just ADHD as a impacting work or school or something like that. And in my interview earlier, Gina began to talk about symptoms as it relates to as you enter the bedroom. And I think that you'll find this very enlightening. So let's hear what she has to say.
Gina, let's kind of transition here into a little bit of, you know, you have the traits of ADHD or distractibility, impulsivity, difficulties with self-regulation of emotion, boredom, those types of things. Can you speak to how that actually kind of enters into the bedroom, if you will, and impacts things?
Right. Well, you know, that's one part, Jeff. I look at these issues in four ways. One is the symptoms themselves affecting the physical act, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people get distracted. I know several women with ADHD who said they had their first orgasm while on a stimulant medication because
wow.
they could focus. you know, they weren't thinking of waffles know, or feeding the cat. They were thinking about, you know, their internal and external phenomena and could mm-hmm. focus on it. So that's one example. Sometimes even before you get to the bedroom, it's one of the biggest problems is motivation and initiation. And sometimes after the initial courtship, the person with ADHD might just move on to other interesting things, you know, something on the internet or whatever, and then they don't often shift their attention and start thinking about being with their partner. Mm-hmm. They might come to bed late because they've been up, you know, on the internet, or women often get just caught up with chores. You know, they're running behind. They're not often mm-hmm. as organized as they want to be. So the last thing on their mind when they finally drop into bed at 2 a.m. is romance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like this confluence of the actual symptoms themselves and what's happening outside the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the disorganization that can kind of eat away at your day, the broken promises or the miscommunications that can eat away at your goodwill, you know, with each other and leave you not interested in, mm-hmm. you know, even sleeping in the same bed. Even sleep issues, you know, sleep is another issue that I like to talk about with ADHD and that few people for a long time associated with ADHD, because that can affect. You might not come to bed until 2 a.m., for whatever reason, as I was saying before. Your partner's been waiting for you. They've finally given up. They're, you know, they're turning a cold shoulder when you finally come in at 2 a.m.
I've never thought about that. That's fascinating.
You know,
it makes all the sense in the world.
There's so many possible scenarios that can play out, but you know, you have to be a sleuth sometime to track it down. If you just went to a sex therapist who wasn't looking at all these allied issues, then they might never get to the, you know, to the root of things.
Because so a second ago you said you had talked to some people who never had an orgasm until they were on stimulants.
Right.
And with what you just said, it seems to me that in this space sometimes, if there's some difficulties, if you went to a sex therapist, really you're treating the wrong thing, because you treat the ADHD maybe first.
Well, and you know, no blanket rules for everyone, but yes, I'd say so. If your ADHD symptoms are giving you challenges in the rest of life, you know, sometimes it's good to think that they might be challenging you, you know, romantically as well.
So if you have a short attention span, I can see how that can kind of play into it, because you can't pay attention to kind of what's going on. If you're distracted by, you know, whatever waffles, then you're not going to pay attention to what's going on.
Right, or if you do things to maintain your focus. Like one woman, you know, her boyfriend would look out the window. He couldn't look at her, because if he mm-hmm. looked at her, he would be distracted in what he was doing in his particular goal at the moment. And so, but she felt like, gee, I might as well put a paper bag over my head. You know, it's, you know, so you can misinterpret things. It's like he wasn't avoiding looking at her because he didn't think she was, you know, unattractive. It was because he was trying to keep his focus.
Mm-hmm.
But even after you understand it, understanding only goes so far. You know,
yep. I can appreciate it. You know, something else that kind of struck me is, you know, ADDers, they always like something new and kind of different. And it seems to me that if you, in the bedroom, you could, if you get into a rut or, you know, whatever, they're always wanting to spice it up a little bit.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? Because that is the folklore about ADHD.
Uh-huh.
But really, I'd say one of the biggest overall complaints as far as the most commonly reported, first, the failure to initiate. Just not thinking about it.
Wow.
But the second one is doing the same thing every time.
Huh.
So, but you know, some people with ADHD, and we're talking unrecognized ADHD, right? You don't know what you're dealing with. But
mm-hmm.
so some people with ADHD, one of the kind of coping strategies they'll come up with is to follow a routine with things.
Mm-hmm.
Not to have to think about it independently each time. It's just a routine.
Yep.
And so, yeah, actually, no, it's the partners. I mean, it's the adults with ADHD that get into the ruts as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You said something a second ago that fascinated me, failure to initiate. That's the number one reported issue?
Yeah. Well, it's a top one. You know, I did a survey. I asked about sex in a few different ways for the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And the top issue was, I would feel sexier if my partner helped more at home. So that might be, you know, their ADHD partner is, you know, raring to go, but they're just, are you kidding me? You know, the kids still need their clothes.
Yep.
We need to put away the laundry, whatever. The next one is, and this is a big one. My partner blames our lack of sex on me, even though his or her reasons don't make sense. And this is something we haven't talked about, which is denial. And denial, as I write about in my book, this is another thing that no one was talking about 10 years ago, is how denial around ADHD symptoms can be both defensive, you know, psychological, not wanting to be associated with the stigma of a disorder, but they can also be physiological. In other words, the person with ADHD doesn't initiate sex anymore, and they if they don't know they have ADHD, they might think, oh, it's because my partner's not sexy anymore. They're not turning me on.
Interesting.
They don't realize that they just might be a novelty-seeking person, and after the first, you know, year, they're kind of done.
Wow.
So
wow.
There can be a kind of but this is, you know, when you don't know you're dealing with ADHD, either partner – the human brain likes to solve a mystery, right? So you're trying to come up with answers. And if you don't know ADHD, you can come up with some real cockamamie.
I've always loved Gina's way she described the human brain has to come up with things and you come up with some cockamamie answers. Sometimes I've quoted that over the place and it was like just a real gem from that. But I thought what was really cool is how she really kind of highlighted a lot of issues that really people don't necessarily think about that can really have an impact on relationships. One of those issues is initiating, and oddly enough, we've actually got a clip on that. So let's hear about a ways to, I guess, initiate sex, which might be a little different.
Gina, with the time we've got left, let's talk about what works for couples. And I want to ask a question because I was flipping through Attitude Magazine, the most recent issue. I think it's the, I don't know, maybe the April issue or May issue. It was funny because I remember reading there was different people talking about some stuff, and Ned Hollowell actually wrote Schedule Sex. Actually put it on the calendar to kind of make it happen. Does that really work?
Well, you know, that's kind of been a tip for a long time. It's to me, it's simplistic, but for some people it is what will work.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what your issue is. With whatever your challenges are with ADHD, I am a big advocate for being a problem solver. Be a detective in your life. Try to set aside the emotion, the drama, and actually drill down to what is at the root of this problem. And so for some people, that might be it. You know, they have a good relationship otherwise. There's not a lot of conflict and missed promises and whatever, but they just don't make the time for it. So that might work. For a lot of people, that's just not going to – it's not going to do it. According to the ADHD Partner Survey, the ones who did report, the respondents who did report an improved sex life attributed it to a real simple thing, and that was life in general improving, meaning fewer arguments, fewer broken promises, and more connection, meaning remembering what the person said, being able to listen to them and look at them at the same time. So in other words, just increased goodwill and harmony is the biggest foundation overall.
Interesting.
But beyond that, yes, creating time, scheduling it, sometimes just getting a weekend away. If you're dealing with young kids, if you're dealing with a lot of chores around the house, some, you know, people with ADHD and all of us really can be very responsive to our environment, what's around us. And if you see a lot of, you know, undone chores, that is not going to promote feelings of, you know, amour. It's just going to make you nervous. So if you can get away for a weekend, you know, that helps. If you're taking medication, and for a lot of people, medication will be what really helps them turn the corner, make sure the medication is in effect at the time that you want to be physical and that part of intimacy, because that will help you not be distractible, you know, be able to focus.
Interesting.
But in general, I would just say working together as a team on tackling these challenges. You know, it's not going to work to say to the partners of adults with ADHD, you just have to learn more and you have to accommodate. And it's not going to do any good to tell the adult with ADHD, go get yourself fixed. You know,
yep.
It has to be a team effort because
yep.
there has to be accommodation on both sides and tackling, you know, the couple's particular challenges.
I think that's really good advice. As Gina had really pulled that together, kind of working together as a, again, this is a special Valentine's edition of Attention Talk Radio. As we said, our secret word tonight is Valentine. So write that down, and along with the title of the show and the date, and email it to us at attention@attentiontalkradio.com, along with the secret word of two other shows, and we'll get you some magazines. Also, as a reminder, go check out Gina's website at ADHDRollerCoaster.org. And let's see, we're going to go to commercial break as soon as I get my... There, here we go. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk Radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We are taking some highlights of different shows that we've done with Gina Pera in the past on ADHD, sex, and intimacy. Before the last break, we were talking about how some of the symptoms show up in the bedroom. Now we're going to transition a little bit, just some awareness level type stuff that I think is really kind of helpful when you start thinking about ADHD and sex intimacy. And so let's listen to these sage advices or thoughts that are shared by Gina.
If you want to learn more about Gina's search for information and stuff, just go back and listen to the original show, which was aired, I believe, back in May of 2011. But the first part we talked about, the second part is we just kind of talked about the symptoms. And we had a good time because we kind of outlined that there's kind of four ways that you look at. One was the physical act itself, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Then there's the emotional side, the cooperation and kind of working together, and then talking about the lack of awareness or denial. And it was great because in the first show you talked a lot about, you know, like the physical act, like ADD kind of getting in the way, and then some people not actually being able to focus on the physical act itself. Other times, like sleep issues kind of come into play that can kind of affect it. It was really eye-opening for me because while I had the idea of wanting to do the show, Gina did a great job in our first show really laying out some very specific type things and explaining them that really made some sense of how this stuff can kind of create some problems. If somebody's got some sleep issues and they're not coming to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning, the partner's kind of given up by then waiting for them to get there, and it kind of makes some sense so you can see how ADHD and its symptoms and or issues can impact in these particular areas.
So in our sequel to the show, Gina had done in her survey with various partners some ideas about their relationships and relates it kind of to a rabbit or bunny, if you will. And we've got some clips on that we want to kind of feature, and I think you'll really kind of enjoy. It's quite fascinating what she learned. So first of all, we will share the metaphor and then get into some of the details.
I kind of wanted to kind of, in this segment, kind of talk about in your book, you kind of share with when you're in, I guess, kind of support groups and you're talking about this and it gets a little tense or it gets kind of funny that you kind of start to categorize things and use kind of bunnies, which is kind of associated with sex, as a way to kind of like put this into kind of classifications. What inspired you to write this, to do that for the first time and actually put it in the book?
Oh, well, you know, I think we have to use humor, and not to make light of these issues, but because sometimes people can get so locked up in these kind of traumatic cycles that a shock of humor can kind of, you know,
mm-hmm.
be like a glass of cold water in the face. It can kind of lighten the situation.
Uh-huh.
It can kind of say, okay, this is something to deal with, but it's not something that we cannot conquer. It's not
mm-hmm.
overpowering. It's not because really, both people in the couple sometimes after a few years of being together, not knowing that ADHD is affecting the relationship, both of them can be down spiraling into despair very
mm-hmm.
easily. So the humor just kind of, I hope it doesn't make light of what can be a serious situation, but it does just kind of jolt people out of one mind state and into another and kind of break that cycle of trauma and hopelessness and despair. So I kind of try to walk that fine line.
And so let's hear you use this metaphor a little bit to kind of describe what she learned in her survey.
This is not to say that everybody's got some issues and stuff like that, but when they're not, one of the common complaints is either it's sex all the time or never.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I was trying to think of an analogy where I could you know, I'd like to keep emphasizing that ADHD is not cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
If you come up with these, you know, simplistic stereotypes and platitudes about ADHD, you're going to miss a lot of people, and a lot of people are not going to be able to connect and think, oh, this is me, and, you know, here's something I can, you know, a new way I can look at this and deal with this. So I tried to break it down that, you know, different kind of bunnies when you think of, you know,
uh-huh.
sex procreation, you think of bunnies. So there's the energizer bunnies and who will self-medicate with sex, you know, and want it all the time. It's how they deal with their emotions. You know, as I write in the book, these are people with, if they're happy, have sex. If they're frustrated, have sex. If they're nervous, have sex. It's their go-to outlet for expressing emotion because it's kind of simple and direct and always there.
And actually, sex also, I mean, it stimulates the brain, right?
It does, I guess you could say that, but would it also, depending on the kind of sex it is, you know, it can also create kind of an addiction.
Uh-huh.
Because you can have this dopamine flood in the brain and creates an addiction like anything else, you know, dopamine
mm-hmm.
receptors downregulate,
mm-hmm.
you know, shut off because they go, whoa, too much dopamine. Let's,
yep.
You know, batten the hatches. And I'm simplifying this, of course. But
yep.
And so then there's that need for the next quick fix. And I think we all know or should know that porn addiction is a big problem in this country. And you know, I hear that a lot in the group, too. You know, their partners
mm-hmm.
aren't interested in them because the porn is right there. You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's online. It's accessible as never before.
Well, I'm not a mental health professional by any stretch of the imagination, but it does seem to me that there is a certain amount of stimulation and excitement around it, and those with ADHD like stimulation and excitement.
Yes.
So it's easy to see why sometimes they might gravitate to that or even have more of a problem with that than maybe others.
Right. Yeah, sure.
So,
And there's also the power surge bunnies.
Uh-huh.
You know, these are the ones that hyper-focus so sharply that they zoom to the finish line. And, you know, some might call this, I think they're calling it early ejaculation now,
uh-huh.
not premature ejaculation. But it can be an issue, especially with younger men with ADHD. And actually the stimulants can help slow that sometimes.
Really? That's
now, the opposite might be true. With older men, the stimulants might affect their blood pressure,
uh-huh.
and so that can cause more erectile dysfunction.
Okay.
So, you know, it depends on your age group, you know, how the stimulants might help or hurt this issue.
Certainly, but stimulants can have an impact here, right? Positive
yeah.
and negative on things that you might not necessarily have thought.
Right, right.
Okay. So we have Energizer Bunny, we have the Power Surge Bunny, and next is the
the generic battery bunnies. They start off great, but then they don't last very long. You know, this is
uh-huh.
the hyper-focus, you know, the stereotypical hyper-focus courtship, you know, wanting sex all the time, and then boom, nothing. It can often just stop on a dime.
Uh-huh.
After months, weeks, even days sometimes.
Interesting. So that's just like, it gets all jazzed up, the novelty of it, and wears off after a while. They're on to other things.
Right.
And then we have
the doomy bunnies.
Yeah.
You could say they lack an internal power source.
Uh-huh.
And they need outer stimulation, or they need a partner to initiate. What's funny, and this is where denial can come into play, they might even feel victimized and neglected if their partner doesn't initiate all the time.
And so we talked about blame and initiation back in our last show in more detail. So for those out there that want to know more, I encourage you to go back and listen to the show. But again, this is one where they don't initiate, there's not internal motivation, they're more passive, and that would be the doomy bunny.
Yeah, and they don't even realize it, though. You know, it's the point,
mm-hmm.
they think that this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't even have a conception that they might be able to initiate a little better, or that they should, you know.
That's interesting. So then we have the indifferent bunnies.
Yeah, you know, those are the ones who just don't, you know, they just don't care about sex. Now, sometimes this can be just, you know, sexual desire is on a spectrum like everything
mm-hmm.
else, I would
mm-hmm.
imagine. And but they don't get it because sometimes symptoms can just interfere. They're not focused on it. They're not thinking about it. They're going from one other stimulating thing to the next.
Mm. That's interesting. They just it's not that they the drive's not there. They're just indifferent. Other things are occupying their mind. They just go about their lives and it doesn't even enter.
Or you know, it could again be these, you know, kind of the late diagnosis baggage. They
uh-huh.
they might have sensory overload issues, and
uh-huh.
so they've just developed an aversion to sex, and they don't understand why everybody thinks it's great to have people you know doing
yep.
annoying things on their body. They just don't get it. They're
uh-huh.
not in that that. You know, that place where they understand it.
Wow. So, and then the next one are the blaming bunnies. Tell me about that one.
Well, this is really confounding. And again, it comes back to this low insight. These will be people who they lose interest in sex. They might be quick to lose interest, or they're not don't initiate it, but they don't know that it's them that might have the problem. They will blame it on their partner. They will say, oh, well, you know, if you just wore that black negligee, or if you just worked out more and had better abs, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, they keep, you know, as I was saying before, if we don't know the reason for something, we can keep trying to solve the mystery in all kinds of ways.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Yeah, this is my favorite quote from the last show. I wrote this one down. The human brain likes to solve mysteries, right? So you try to come up with answers. If you don't know you're dealing with ADHD, you can come up with a bunch of cockamamie answers.
Right.
And I think that
right.
really applies here is like, wait a second, this person, if they're blaming the other person for their lack of interest, and they're coming up with all these wild ideas about why what's going on and blaming it, well, it's not my fault. It must
right.
be yours.
Yeah, they can't imagine that anything would be wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just know that you're not stirring their desire.
Mm-hmm.
Like one couple, she said that her husband, and she had had, you know, previously a pretty good sex life with her long-term boyfriends, and she couldn't understand what was happening with her husband and, or, you know, future husband. And he said, well, you know, maybe if your hair was blonde, or maybe if you got it, I think you should get a tattoo on your butt. Or,
uh-huh.
you know, what about a mirror on the ceiling? And how about these nipple clips? And, you know, whatever, you know, maybe we
uh-huh.
need more, what did she say? You know, like erotic pictures on the
uh-huh.
wall or something.
Wow.
And so she was trying to do all these things. And then finally she just thought, he just doesn't find me attractive. And,
uh-huh.
and it can be very easy. Even this formally confident person
yep.
can start thinking, I'm not sexually attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But then she ended up talking to an ex-boyfriend, and he said, oh, no, it's not you.
I'll stop there.
It's not you.
Yeah, we got one more I want to kind of cover before we go to break, and
okay.
that's the clueless bunny.
Yeah. Well, you know, in a way, these all some of them overlap. They just
mm-hmm.
don't get it. They don't
understand why their partner's upset that there is no intimacy and keep, you know, just it just doesn't fly on their radar screen. It will be on the radar screen when their partner's in their face about it, but then it's completely off, and they don't understand what the big deal is.
Is this like kind of – what I, when you started saying this, I started thinking they're missing social cues, part of it. I mean, that's not all of it, but it's not a top priority, and they're just kind of missing the boat on what's really kind of all about.
Yes, and this is where a lack of empathy can come in. And ADHD can impair one's sense of empathy because, you know, empathy is one of those feelings you have to reflect a bit. You have to kind of stop and put yourself in another person's shoes and imagine how they would feel. And reflection is not often an ADHD strong suit. You know, that's one of the traits that's, you know, not considered, you know, very strong, stop and reflecting and those more subtle feelings. So often often empathy will improve. I hear this a lot. When the medication starts and suddenly the person can stop and notice and think and, you know, connect past events and see, you know, the pattern over time. So that's when they start getting a clue.
All right. I hope that tonight you've gotten some insight on our first ever Attention Talk Radio Valentine special on today, February the 14th, the year 2018. Again, this is just a bunch of clips that we did with Gina Pera over the years around ADHD, sex, and intimacy. Point of the show really tonight is really a lot of awareness and that, yes, in fact, ADHD or the bedroom is not an ADHD-free zone, and there's a lot that goes into it. And the trick and the key is really the awareness and working with you, Andrew. We encourage you to go learn more about Gina Pera or check out her book, ADHD Roller Coaster, at ADHDRollerCoaster.org. And with that, we hope that you've enjoyed the show. Catch us next week for another great edition. Take care.